Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for today's sermon is the incomprehensible grace of God based on the parable from Matthew 20, the workers in the vineyard. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your grace. Help us to comprehend just a little of it this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's parable speaks to us about many things, but just one of those things is the incomprehensible nature, the amazing, profound, incredible nature of the grace of God. A grace by which He always calls us, a grace by which He sometimes frustrates us, and a grace by which He is incredibly generous to us. So those are the three points I want to pick up on today. A grace that always calls us, that sometimes frustrates us, and that is incredibly generous to us. So firstly, the way His grace always calls us. It's interesting the reactions you get when you tell somebody that you're a pastor. At times it can be a very effective conversation stopper. At other times, you kind of see people racking their brains thinking, you know, packer, painter, paramedic, no pastor. Not sure what a pastor is. One of the reactions that stuck with me was a very simple reaction from a man who said, "A pastor, what's that some kind of calling? What's that some kind of calling?" I think he was right. To be a pastor is to have some kind of calling. But it's only one kind of calling. And I think we go off track if we think pastors are the only ones who have a calling in their lives. As Lutherans in particular, our understanding of work and vocation and life as a whole is that there's multiple callings. That in fact we all have callings in our life. That God regularly and continuously calls us to live with Him and to work with Him and for Him in this world. We see it in today's parable. The landowner goes out into the marketplace to hire workers for his vineyard. He goes out early morning, then again at 9 and midday and 3 and 5. And he's continuously calling people, drawing people, inviting people to come and work in his vineyard. No job interviews, no contracts, no police checks. He just calls them. Right, invites them, draws them in. Those who are willing, come, work, earn a salary, earn what is fair. God calls people, all people, firstly to faith through the gospel and through His Holy Spirit and through holy baptism, as He has done with Sophia this morning, who's sleeping away beautifully. That's wonderful. Doesn't mean the rest of you can fall asleep. That's all right for her. And secondly, He calls us to work, to serve in His kingdom, as part of His kingdom. And that includes every role, every task you take on, everything you do every day is in some sense a part of His calling on your life. Whatever you're doing right now in life, whatever your work, your vocation, your situation is part of God's calling to you. It's not just about church, it's not just about Sundays, it's not just about paid employment. That's a very narrow view of our work. But if we open that up, we see that in fact every part of our work there is a calling from God as to who we're to be and how we're to be that person. From the very exciting, the very enjoyable aspects to the very difficult and very laborious aspects, God is at work in those parts of our life too. So for example, we pray for daily bread. Do that in the Lord's Prayer. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. And what does God do? He gives us farmers, He gives us truck drivers, He gives us people working at the shops to bring us our daily bread. He works through people. Similarly, we might pray for care, and God gives us parents, He gives us police officers, He gives us emergency services workers to make sure that we're cared for. We might pray for healing, and occasionally, the rare situations, God might heal someone miraculously. But normally, what does God do? He provides doctors, He provides nurses, He provides the pharmacist down the road, and all these people are God's means healing us. They're the way he works in our lives and in our world. Every legitimate work is God's work, and we're called to be part of this work as well. Pastor Tim Keller poses the question, what does it mean to be a Christian in the workplace? What does it mean, for example, to be a good Christian pilot? And the answer he gives is, land the plane. Right? Land the plane. Do your job and do it well. In that way, you serve God. Now, is a Christian pilot also called to tell people about Jesus and to witness in that place? Yes, they are. And it might be especially important if they're not planning on doing the first part of their job well. Okay? But the work itself is valuable, right? Landing the plane is valuable. Doing their job well is valuable. And that's God's work too. And that's what God has called them to be and to do also. It's God who wants you to be a good spouse, or it's God who wants you to be a good parent, or it's God who wants you to be a good employer or employee or retiree or student or whoever you are, wherever you are in life. It's God who has called you there and put you there, and he has things for you to do there. That's a wonderful thing. You too have been called, invited, drawn into the vineyard of your Lord. Because of his incomprehensible grace, God is always calling us, first to faith, and secondly, to live out that faith in the world in which we live in many diverse and wonderful ways. Sometimes this grace of God, this incomprehensible grace of God, frustrates us. It's the same thing that happened in the parable. The landowner's grace frustrated the workers who were hired first, the early birds. You remember how it goes? The last workers are the first to be paid, and they receive a denarius, which is basically a day's salary, a good day's salary, for their measly hour's work. Right? That's what they put in, and they're given a whole day's pay for it. And so the first hired, of course, at this point are thinking, well, here we go. What are we going to get? Okay? And you could imagine, you could rationalize it in your mind. You could think, well, we've done 12 times the work, some of us. 12 times the hours put in, 12 times the blisters on our hands, 12 times the sunburn on our heads. Perhaps we stand to earn 12 times the salary. Wouldn't that be fair? The second group comes, they receive a day's wage, a denarius. The third group comes, they receive a day's wage, a denarius. That's when the complaining begins, the grumbling, the frustration. These who were hired first worked only 1 hour, they say, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. These early bird workers are frustrated. They're even angered by the landowner at this point. Something very similar was happening in our Old Testament reading with Jonah. Jonah's sitting up there on his hill in a huff, looking over the city of Nineveh, basically thinking that God is just mismanaging the whole thing. God doesn't know what he's doing. God is being too kind. He's being too patient. This lot's never going to come to their senses. God, just get rid of them. Right? That's what Jonah thinks. Isn't that what they deserve? Is what Jonah thinks. So he becomes very frustrated with God, very angry with God. Likewise, these early bird workers become frustrated with the landowner who they think is being unfair, unjust. Now, we feel for them, don't we? Those who have borne the burden of the work, the heat of the day, they've been faithful, they've been dedicated, they've been doing what they were called to do the whole day long. They have labored hard. They have been busying themselves with their master's work, their Lord's work. They've given so much of themselves, so much of their time, so much of their energy to the work of the vineyard, and now they feel they're not being respected for it, they're not being recognized for it. Can be very frustrating, especially when you witness God's grace to those you might consider the Johnny-come-latelys, right? Who just don't seem to deserve it, in your opinion, just don't seem to have worked for it or led as good a life for it as you might have. We find that hard, I think. Friends, our problem is not unlike the problem of these workers. We so easily begrudge the generosity of our landowner. We find God's grace so reckless. What is he doing? What is he thinking? We find his patience so painstaking, his kindness so undeserved, and it frustrates us at times. The landowner has a fairly firm word for these early birds. He says, "Friends, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I choose with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Friends, we forget our place sometimes and allow our misguided sense of justice and fairness to question God's good sense of grace and mercy. We become envious. We compare ourselves to others. Some of us do this all the time, comparing ourselves to others, their work, their family, their life, and we feel we've been hard done by. We begrudge the landowner for his seeming injustice. We read in Romans 9, he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. And so it depends then not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." See, when we see our work or our works as an avenue by which we can please God or appease God, rather than itself being a gift of his grace, then it will always carry with it this great frustration that we're never really recognized fully for what we're doing, for the work we're doing. What we need to see is firstly the incredible generosity of the landowner of God to all of us. This is what God was trying to teach Jonah out on the hill, right? He's there, he's got his shelter set up, he's in a big huff, and God allows this plant to grow up over him, and it shades him, and it gives him relief, and it gives him some comfort, and he's quite happy for a day. And then it's taken away. And he's angry again, he's unhappy again. Why did God do that? What God was trying to show Jonah was, wait a minute, Jonah, you didn't work for this bush, you didn't labor for it. It just came. It was just a gift to you, and you enjoyed its shade, and you appreciated it, but then it was taken away. But you had concern for the bush. It was important to you. And God says, shouldn't this city be important to me? Shouldn't these people I have created and these people I love be important to me? And shouldn't I want what's best for them? Of course they don't deserve it, Jonah. You didn't deserve it either, Jonah. You remember Jonah's story? Ran away from God, didn't want a piece of his calling in his life. And yet God gives it to him and God sustains him through it. God is generous. God watches out for his people. And God reminds Jonah of his place. Because everything Jonah had was a gift of God's grace. His life and his calling and his work and everything had been given to him. He's not so different to those people of Nineveh. Likewise, the early birds in our parable forget that everything they have is a gift from God. Their life, their calling, their work, it's all from him. He's given it to them. Their salary, right, whatever it is, has been given to them. Those who have perhaps spent periods of their life without work and wanting work and unemployed know that that's the real burden. The real burden is not having work and having to work hard. The real burden is wanting to work hard and not being able to, right? Work is a gift. Okay, the things we're called to do, our service, that's a gift to us. It's a good thing for us to enjoy and to receive from his grace. These early birds have been very blessed by their landowner, and they've been blessed from the beginning of the day, from day dot in their life, we could say. Many of us are the same. We have received God's grace and generosity very early on in our lives, perhaps as an infant, perhaps in baptism. And so it's so easy for us to take it for granted and not realize that he was there with us the whole time and that we've always been recipients of his grace. And he's always been kind and generous to us. And we take that sometimes for granted. The heart of this parable is the heart of this landowner. his incredible generosity. Just think of it for a moment. These folks come late in the day to work. It's the 11th hour, it's 5 p.m. or thereabouts. What would happen if they weren't given work? They go home empty-handed, right? No money, no work, can't feed the family. So what does this landowner do? He calls them to be part of his work. And he pays them for it. And he pays them well for it because he's generous. And so they can go home and they can feed their family. The landowner cares about them, cares about their situation. It's not just about the work. It's about them as people. It's about their families. He wants to bless them. And so he's very, very generous. You know, with God, fairness and justice and these things we talk about, they are just the lowest common denominator, okay? It's not that God's not fair, it's not that he's not just, but that's just scratching the surface of who he is. He is kind, he is generous, he is gracious, he is more than we think he is. And he always wants to give us more than we deserve. Not what we deserve, but more than we deserve. The heart of this parable is the heart of this landowner. His generous, generous heart. Let's put aside for a moment the whinging workers, right, and their sense of justice or their sense of fairness or whatever it is. And let's consider his generosity. 12 times what these workers deserve is what he gives them out of his grace. He bears that burden. It's a financial burden for him. And he bears it. He takes it on himself. He doesn't take it away from the other workers. He's the one who bears the burden in order to be kind and generous to these Johnny-come-latelys. It's not on account of their works, but it's on account of his kindness. Grace will always seem unfair because it gives the undeserving more than they deserve. That's what grace is. But we're all undeserving, ultimately. And so everything we have received is from the grace of God and the hand of God. Our work, our vocations, our callings, our salaries, our families, our homes, our churches, our community. It's all a gift of his grace. It's all an undeserved gift of his grace. And finally, of course, he sends us his son, who bears the real burden of the work on the cross, so that we might have all the benefits of his work and all the generosity of God in our lives. One commentator writes about this parable, the text stops on the note of the incomprehensible grace of God. And so should we. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace at work in our lives. Help us just to begin to come to terms with it. Thank you for your gracious work in the life of Sophia this morning. We pray for your blessing over her. Lord, help us not to begrudge your generosity or to be envious of what others have or are or are doing. Lord, help us simply to be thankful for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.